Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN Sunday for Sunday, March 10th, 2024. And we've got another great show for you this week. The Legal Eagles, David Levine, Kevin Walsh will be here in segment one to help break down what's happening on Capitol Hill. And then we'll turn our attention to Slam the Scam, a new initiative from the Social Security Administration. Matthew Baxter from SSA will be here to help talk about all the scams and how to thwart those scams. So sit back, relax, enjoy this episode of BRN Sunday. Well, we are going to kick off the week and look on Capitol Hill, and there's a lot going on. We had the State of the Union address. We're going to get to that in a minute. But joining us on the line, you know them as the Legal Eagles, but they're also fondly known to their colleagues, friends, and those of us in the industry as David Levine, Kevin Walsh. Both are principals with Groom Law Group. And again, that's an employee benefits law firm based in Washington, D.C. Eagles, so great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Jeff, it's good to be here. I feel like we're having a high energy day today. We're not getting into politics, but, you know, high energy or low energy is for the campaign trail, not for the Eagles.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to preface this, Kevin, by coming to you first. We're going to talk about the State of the Union, what it, not the politics of it, but what it meant for what we focus on, which is retirement, healthcare, and employee benefits. So, Kevin, your reaction, anything in there, any nuggets that might give you a sense of there's some retirement legislation coming down the line?
I mean, I think my first reaction to the State of the Union, this could be said about any State of the Union, is that it starts too late at night. I mean, the idea that it's on TV at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we, you know, then the president's going to talk for an hour, you know, it takes a while to get in. I'm a DC Kevin, insider as much as they come, but I don't want to be doing politics Kevin, at 10:30 on a Thursday night.
Kevin, 9 p.m. is late? Really?
Well, it's late for me. It's late for me, so guys. Late.
I mean, I believe in the Ben Franklin approach, you know, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, I think was the statement. But enough about that. Let's pivot to the you know, substance of the speech. And on the substance, there were really two things that jumped out at me from a retirement standpoint. The first is that, you know, there was no talk about retirement legislation, you know, essentially zero on ideas for, you know, changes that can be made to the private retirement system, changes that can be made to individual retirement accounts, you know, discussion of that. So, you know, one thing that we try to think about is this a year that we're going to see more retirement legislation, you know, Secure 3.0, some other name for a bill? And it's consistent with the idea that it's unlikely that we're going to see, you know, a big package of retirement ideas sometime in 2024. Now, it suggests to me that that's probably going to be 2025, 2026. So next year, we'll probably be talking about, you know, the raft of ideas that go towards a new batch of retirement legislation. But retirement was not one of the president's priorities in the speech. He had a number of other priorities, and that wasn't one of them. The second thing that leapt out at me was, you know, the president's focus on junk fees. He talked about the number of Snicker bars that one can get and how shrinkflation has had an impact on Ticketmaster fees, where there's hidden fees. You know, not to name Snickers or Ticketmaster, both great organizations. But the president seemed very focused on the idea that, you know, consumers want transparency, and he gave a number of examples. And, you know, again, significant that retirement didn't come up. For folks who remember last Halloween, the president had an event at the White House where he was describing some of the fees in the retirement system as possibly being junk fees. And so to me, another significant area was that, you know, those same topics didn't come up in this speech, which suggests, you know, maybe the president has been persuaded somewhat, but we'll have to wait and see, that, you know, some of those fees may not have been, you know, properly characterized back in October. I'm sure David wants to jump in on one or both of these topics and not just the number of Snicker bars that one can get. So David?
David, how many Snicker bars? Do you like Snickers?
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Yes. And to that point, you know, first of all, I am very impressed by my colleague and friend, Mr. Walsh here, because he basically did a whole segment on there being nothing. So that's incredible. And that shows you the value of a lawyer. Number one. Number two,
sometimes it's as important what goes unsaid as what's said. I mean, the State of the Union is an opportunity to lay out, you know, your big sweeping priorities and things you want to campaign on. And it suggests to me that 2024 is not going to be a campaign focused on retirement issues.
I happen to agree, but there are some things of note that I wanted to pick up on for real. First of all, even though the State of the Union did not talk about retirement, that's not the entire story because, you know, yesterday in the House, there was action moving forward legislation on collective investment trusts and 403Bs. Now, there were a good number of Democrats who voted for. There were a good number that voted against. We're back to the Senate now to see if the Senate moves on this, or if the Senate does not move on it. We've talked about the complexities of this legislation, but we'll have to see. There's a lot of people who are excited, but remember, it takes many, many steps to have a bill become a law. The other piece of this is, what Kevin points out is yesterday, the characterization of the State of the Union was that it was a relatively partisan focused position. We're not going to get into the politics, pros, cons of any side here. But regardless, it does highlight again that if suddenly the parties move towards wanting to show they can work together, retirement is in the offing. And as Kevin points out, well, you know, in this year of ERISA at 50, and I'm going to try to mention that every single time we do a podcast, but if ERISA at 50, we're all talking about ideas about way to make the system work for the next 50 years. But you never know. If there's a desire to show some bipartisanship, retirement could bubble back to the top of the list. So those are my takeaways.
Yeah. And just because it wasn't mentioned, gentlemen, in the, and Kevin, I'll come pivot back to you. Just because it was not mentioned in the State of the Union doesn't mean that the things that we've been talking about for weeks, months, years, the fiduciary rule, the retirement crisis, and the potential rebirth, renaissance, if you will, of the defined benefit plan, doesn't mean that Congress can't take these things up. It just means that the administration is focusing on certain things. Because remember, we have I don't have to tell you guys this, but we have multiple branches of government. So Congress can focus on some things. They are, and those things could bubble up to the White House and actually get enacted, it possibly.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see discussions about retirement policies this year, whether it's at the regulatory level, in the courts, or in Congress. So, you know, just because it's not one of the themes the president plans to campaign on, doesn't mean that there's not going to be more to say. We're not going to shut down the legal segment next week because the president didn't mention 401k plans.
Well, that's good to know, because I don't know what I would do without you, gentlemen. And by the way, gentlemen, did you see we had your friend of the show and friend of I think you gentlemen, Kendra Isaacson from Mindset on Friday. She did a great job. I didn't even think about the State of the Union, but we had her on talking about some of the retirement legislation on the program. I don't know if you caught that.
You know, it's always good to hear from Kendra. Yeah, she's a great speaker, and you know, she's former Hill staffer, very plugged in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for your reaction, your thoughts about the retirement and healthcare legislation going on, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, listeners.
Bye, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Welcome back. And now we're going to talk a little bit about Social Security. And I don't know if you, many of you probably have seen this, but there's a new initiative from our friends at the Social Security Administration about Slam the Scam. Joining us on the line, Matthew Baxter is with the Social Security Administration. Matt, so great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Well, good morning, and Jeffrey. Thank you so much for helping us spread the word about scams.
Geez, I'm so glad that you're on because, you know, between forgetting Social Security for a minute, but between all the scams that we are exposed to here in the States and for those listening abroad, our data, this is kind of scary. Tell us a little bit about Slam the Scam, what the initiative here is, and what we can do as individuals.
Yeah, so March 7th was our fifth annual Slam the Scam Day. It raises awareness about the issue of ongoing imposter scams and allows us to inform the public of those scams so they can protect themselves if they happen to encounter one of those phone calls. Our day is also part of the Federal Trade Commission's National Consumer Protection Week, and we're helping to support that day with many different outreach activities.
Yeah. And look, the Social Security, I was telling you beforehand, I grew up in the retirement industry. So that Social Security number is a driver and has been a driver for so many things. When we talk about an imposter, what are we talking about here? Someone pretending to be a member of the Social Security Administration and asking for information in order to establish an account for somebody and basically tap into their benefits.
Precisely, Jeffrey. And although this scam has morphed a bit over the past 4 or 5 years, generally these calls follow a certain pattern. A person is going to contact you and claim they work for the Social Security Administration, and they're going to work on your emotions, usually fear, occasionally greed. But let's talk about the fear tactic. Oftentimes, they're going to say that there is something illegal occurring under your Social Security number, or that your Social Security number has been frozen, and unless you call them back and cooperate with them, that you are going to be in legal trouble. Sometimes they'll even say that they have police officers headed to your house, that you're going to be arrested unless you cooperate. People, of course, are fearful. They are concerned that this might be legitimate. And just a note here, they're not just preying on senior citizens. These scammers are calling everyone with phone numbers. I have had community partners reach out to me in the past and mention, hey, my 13-year-old son has received 3 of these calls in the past 3 weeks, and it scared him. So, I mean, they're going after everyone. And bottom line is, if you call these people back, what they're going to say is, oh, there's a fee or a fine that you have to pay to make this problem go away. Go down to the store, buy a gift card for, let's say, $500, call us back with the PIN number and card number, and everything will be okay. And of course, once you give that information over to the scammer, your money is gone. They're going to drain that card immediately, and it's going to be nearly impossible to recover that money. So it's just important to be really conscious of a couple of red flags. One would be any threat of legal action. That is not how we conduct business at Social Security. Even if you are, let's say, overpaid money, we're not going to call and threaten you and say you're going to be arrested if you don't cooperate with us. Also, any request for a gift card purchase is illegitimate, because even if you owe money back to Social Security, you can't pay it back with a gift card.
Wow. I'll just say these scammers are they adapt. And a lot of times they're not here in the United States. They're bad actors living abroad. But listen to you talk, Matt. I think this is good information, and I want to get your opinion on this, not just for individuals, but also if you're a caregiver. So if you're protecting mom and dad or a loved one, not protecting, but you're caring for a loved one, you could be on the front lines of helping to protect an individual from losing their identity. And these people are among our most vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we really recommend that if you get one of these calls, that you say something, basically that you share your experience with your loved ones And also, if you're listening to this message today, too, that you just share that with everyone that you care for, because you just never know who it might be in your circle of loved ones that may fall prey. You may think that a person would know that this is not legitimate. But again, sometimes people are thinking, oh, this is only focused on senior citizens, so I don't have to worry about talking to my kids about this, or it's only focused on folks who are on disability. So if you're not on disability, don't have to worry about it. But the truth of the matter is, anyone could fall prey to this scam at any time. So again, say something. And more to the point too, we really would appreciate it if you get one of these scam calls that you do take the time to go to our website and fill out a form just to express what your experience was. You can summarize what the phone call was, what the message was. And what that allows us to do is kind of stay on top of the scam, see how it's morphing, and during opportunities like this, be able to inform the public of what the newest scam sounds like. So if that is something that you're willing to do, you go to oig.ssa.gov. And I'll repeat that. It's oig.ssa.gov. And there's a special form that the agency has created just for this scam.
Yeah, that, again, really important. You know, it's one thing to push off the scam, but also you got to inform authorities so that they can track it down, because chances are, if it's happening to you as an individual, it could be happening to others. Matt, before I let you go, I want to talk about, I know you wanted to kind of wrap in another part of this, and there's a very nice website. I actually visit it regularly where you can look at your own Social Security information, meaning Jeff Snyder, he can go log in. It keeps all track of all your salary or compensation information, all your benefit, all your amounts paid in to date, right? I think it's called My Social Security, but there, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
Jeffrey. That's right. So it's called the My Social Security account, but you actually access it through our homepage, which is ssa.gov. And there are a lot of great reasons to have one of these accounts. If you're a person who's 18 or older, you really should have one. So if, let's say, you're just starting your career or you're mid-career, a couple of major features there. One, it gives you access to a Social Security statement, which is available at all times, updated once a year. It will contain your entire career earnings information as well as your benefit estimates. One thing, although it's a very rare thing, there is employer fraud out there where sometimes an employer will actually steal the FICA taxes out of your paycheck and never report the earnings to us. So if you're checking your Social Security statement at least once a year and you see, let's say, a couple of years ago, there's a zero posted for earnings, but you know that you worked and paid Social Security taxes, the chances are that the employer made an inadvertent mistake and just didn't report the information correctly. But it's also possible that they're engaging in fraud. Either way, if you catch the error early, it's easy to fix, because all you have to do is supply us with a W-2 showing the Social Security taxable earnings you had for the year. Or in lieu of that, if you can get a letter from the employer certifying what amount of income that you paid Social Security taxes on in that year, we can fix the issue really easily. Whereas if you wait until you're approaching retirement to look at your earnings history and you see an error from like 35 or 40 years ago, it may be more difficult for us to fix that. Besides that, you also can request, in most cases, a replacement Social Security card without having to come into our office any longer. In most states, you can use both your driver's license or your state ID issued by your DMV or MVA. A few states, you do have to have a driver's license to use that feature. But hey, it's going to save you vacation time versus coming into the office and, you know, waiting without an appointment for your number to be called. For those who are on Social Security or on Medicare, it's even more valuable to have this account, because you can change your address, telephone number, direct deposit online. You also can get your benefit verification letter, which is crucial for many, many seniors who may qualify for needs-based assistance, like subsidized senior housing. There's an annual recertification process where you have to prove all of your income. Even if you're not qualifying for one of those programs, maybe you're taking out a loan from a bank in retirement. There too, the bank is going to force you to get proof of all of your income. And this is a really easy way to do so. And to tie this together, Jeffrey, with what we talked about earlier concerning Slam the Scam, by setting up the account for yourself, potentially as early as your 18th birthday, you are ensuring that no one else will ever be able to attempt to fraudulently create that account in your name. Sadly, we have had some reports of like an ex-spouse or sometimes a drug addicted family member trying to create an account for someone, especially someone that they know is on Social Security benefits, because their hope is that they are able to fraudulently create the account and then redirect the Social Security check into their own account. So what our message is, create the account if you want one, but if you don't want one, and I know many of your listeners out there may not really want to do their, you know, handle their business online, they don't need to. All they have to do is call our 800 line or their local office, or go into their local office and talk to a Social Security employee and request that a block be placed on their electronic access. So it's very much an either or scenario. If you're 18 or older, you should be either setting up the account and using all the wonderful features available on there, or if you're someone who does not handle their business online, contact us, put a block on, and hey, if you change your mind down the road and you do want to make use of that great account, you can recontact us, verify your identity, we'll remove the block, and then you can set up the account at that time.
Yeah. I, again, it's a great site. I actually, while we were talking, I actually logged in to look at my account, and I have been using it for a long time. So it's a great feature. But, you know, you have to be so vigilant these days to ensure that your information doesn't fall in the wrong hands. And I know the Social Security Administration, Matt, takes a lot of pride in coming up with these, slam the scam day, but also putting in protocols and things in place to prevent scams happening to consumers.
Absolutely. We are remaining vigilant, and we ask the public to do the same. And as the scam evolves, so will our tactics to attack that scam.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you and the Social Security Administration back on the program again very soon.
It's been my pleasure, Jeffrey. Thank you very much.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN Sunday. Have a topic of interest? Someone you think we should talk to? Hey, drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more in all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives? Check out our latest content? Then visit our website. And we're back again tomorrow for another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and, of course, a very important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.